We're starting today. Our daf is Gimel Amud Aleph. We saw it yesterday, just to review very briefly. We saw the beginning of the Masechet, which starts out with the need of the Shaliach when he brings the get from far away, or maybe even in Medinat Hayam, right? We saw all different options, or maybe even in border towns of Israel into Israel. Then when he brings the get, he has to say, B'fanai Nechta, B'fanai Nechtam. The reason for this, we said, was in order to make sure that the husband, if the husband comes and complains later and tries to say this was a forged document, she takes out the get to go get married, and he says, this is a forged document. We have this witness who said, B'fanai Nechta, B'fanai Nechtam, and then we know it's not forged. We're going to question this assumption in a few minutes, but let's assume that that's the base, that's the a given. Two reasons as to why this is only from the borders into Israel or from Chutz La'aretz into Israel. Rabba says it's because they're not Bekiim. They don't know the law of Bekiim Lishma, okay, which we then later kind of said, well, it's really only a minority of people who don't know this, but we'll get to that, right? But the main thing is that they don't really know this halacha of lishma. What he's basically testifying is that the get was given lishma, with all, you know, it was written in particular, remember what lishma is, for this person to give to that woman, right? In other words, in their name, and not that he took some other shtar that was already written and gave it to her. And Rava says, no, the reason is because when he comes to complain, we won't, and that's, according to the first option, he comes to complain and says, oh, this get is no good, not because it's forged, the signatures are forged, but because it was not written lishma. That's the problem. The second case, the second option of understanding is, no, it's not that it wasn't done properly, it's that the signatures were forged. The whole document is a forgery, and that's what he claims, and we won't be able to go, we're going to learn about this in general today, about kiyum shtarot. That when you have a shtar, generally, we say two witnesses isn't enough for anything. So you have two witnesses signed in a document. That's great. But there's something called kiyum shtarot, which means that if you have a document that's signed by two witnesses, that's a valid document. You can use it for anything. But if someone comes to complain about it and say, we suspect that this is a forged document, then you need to be what's called kiyum shtarot. You need to be mekayem the shtar to say, let's check the witnesses' signatures. Let's see, is it really forged or not? So in other words, as long as no one's complaining, it's totally fine. But once someone complains and says, we think there's a problem and there's a forgery, then you have to go through the process of kiyum shtarot and to check that this is really a good thing. So the point being here is that as long as he says, b'fanai nechta, b'fanai nechtam, that's sufficient. Okay? So now, we started yesterday, and we said, if you're going to say, l'fisha ein bekiyin l'shma, then we shouldn't require two witnesses to say it. Because if the whole point is we want testimony that this was done l'shma, so you need testimony. Testimony is two witnesses. And then they said, no, eidach adema bisurin. Remember this? Now, there's a whole, I didn't get into this, but there's a whole interesting machloket about in which cases is eidach adema. Is it all cases of bisurin? Is it not? And the Gemara answered in the Amrit, what did the Gemara say? When we say Eid Echa Ne'eman, we're talking about Safek Shal Chelev, Safek Shal Shuman, right? Where it's not Itchazik Yisura. Okay? But if it's Itchazik Yisura, right? And in addition, right, this whole question, why they have to bring two answers. One is, the number one is Itchazik Yisura. Number two, it's Devar Sheba Erva. Okay? And Devar Sheba Erva, you always need two. Now the question is, why do you need the combination of both, right? It should have been enough just to say Itchazik Yisura. So first of all, Tevel is Itchazik Yisura. And Eid Echad is Ne'eman. Because, okay, now there's a lot of interesting things. I'm going to have a lot of time. So what's the issue? So what's Tevel, right? Something that's not Hufrash Trumot Masro. Right now it's Asur. But as soon as you're Mafrash Trumot Masro, it'll be Mutar. Now in that case, if I say to you, I was Mafrash Trumot Masro, you can believe me. Because Eid Echad Ne'eman Bisurin. But why? Right? If we have this Itchazik Yisur, so we see Itchazik Yisur doesn't always work enough. It's not enough. What's the issue? Why there does it work? Because there's a concept of biyadolik teknam. He can easily fix it. Tevel just means you have to take Trumot Masro. It's a very easy process to fix it. Whereas, let's say, this case of Eshadish, it's not such a simple process to just fix it and make her mutar. So that's one of the differences. And that's why also they say it's a combination of Itchazik Yisura and Eshadish. It's not just the Itchazik Yisura. But again, the Itchazik Yisura of Tevel, you could say it's different because it's Biyadol HaTaknam. But if you took a case like Nida, So Nida also is Biyado L'Takna, and it's Sever Sheba Erva. So, but yet the woman is Ne'emenet, that she can say, I'm not a Nida, and the husband can believe her. So also, there's a lot of interesting discussions about it.
Michelle, can I just continue? Maybe I misunderstood. Mm-hmm. The shtar that the husband writes in front of the wife, two Adim have to sign on
it? So first of all, he doesn't necessarily write it in front of the wife. He just gives it to the wife. But two Adim sign on it, yes.
Or see him sign it.
No. Oh, so, okay, we're going to get into this whole thing. Okay, so number one, here we're talking about the two signatures on the get. Two people sign the get, and then there's what's called, there's a whole huge machloka, we're going to get to this tomorrow already, or maybe even a little today, about what are the key Adim? There's two types of Adim, okay? It's almost, and I don't want to make the comparison to a wedding, because I told you already the ketubah is not a shtar of gittin, but at a wedding, right? There's two witnesses that see, he gives her the ring, there's two witnesses that sign the ketubah, and there's two witnesses that see they did yichud, right? So here also, there's two witnesses who sign on the get, and then there's two witnesses who see when he gives her the get, or when the shaliach gives her the get, or whoever gives her the get, right? There's two different processes, the ketiva and the chatima. I'm sorry, the ketiva and the netina. Okay? So there's a whole big debate that's going to pervade throughout the Masechet of which are the key ones. Is it the ones who sign, or is it the ones who see him give it to her? Is it the writing and the signing that's the most important, or is it the passing over to the woman? So that's a good question, but that's not really coming up here yet, because what's coming up here is really the issue of the signatures on the shtar, because later when she pulls out the shtar and says, I'm divorced, there's signatures on the shtar, and she claims, oh, this is a good document. And then he comes and says, no, this is a forged document. And then the whole question is, we have this, well, if one witness said, b'fanei nechtam, then that's enough to say we don't, or maybe right now we'll say that's enough to say we get rid of the husband's complaint.
So if the husband and the wife are there with somebody, somebody wrote the ketubah, two witnesses signed it, and two witnesses had to see that she got it, so the two signers can't be the ones who give it.
They could be. It could be the same witnesses. It doesn't really matter if it's the same witnesses or different witnesses. It could be the same two witnesses who did everything. Like in general, at a wedding, we give the kibud to other people. But if there's a wedding, for example, with non-religious people, and there's only two, right? There's lots of weddings like that, where if you want to find a kosher aid who's Shomer Shabbat, it's not so simple. Then those two witnesses function as everything. It doesn't make a difference. The question is, which are the key witnesses, okay? Now, and do you need witnesses to see him giving the get to her? It's even a question, right? Is it critical that you have those witnesses? Or can you just give her the get without witnesses? Okay?
So it's two and two? I thought it was just two witnesses and one person to say his name.
No, one person says, b'fanei nechtam. But that's not what... When he gives her the get, he brings it from the husband. The husband sends him a shaliach from Chutz Laaretz to Israel. One shaliach. One shaliach, but he gives it to her in front of witnesses. Okay? So there's five people now that we're talking about, right? Now, again, if you're doing it in Israel, there's no need for that one guy, b'fanei nechtam. That's what I was talking about in general, Gittin. In other words, you need witnesses to sign and witnesses when you give it over, just like witnesses see when he puts the ring on the woman's finger. Okay? In certain cases, you need this extra step of b'fanei nechtam. Okay, this was done before me. We're going to get into it more today.
Michelle, is that true today, too? You need two witnesses to see her get it?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah, I would assume. Yeah. And you definitely have witnesses who sign on the get. Right. Well, first of all, the whole thing is generally done in a court. It's generally done in a court. You know, they go to a Beit Din, Rabbani, and they do the whole process there. But there are cases where it's not done. And, there's unique cases where we're going to see a whole bunch of things that come up in the Gemara that actually could be worked on today. Okay. So we have this whole mahalach. So we said, but isn't it, right, Erechad, why didn't you need two people to say b'fanei nechtam? Then they said, because Erechad is ne'eman b'isurin. Then they said, what do you mean? When we say Erechad ne'eman b'isurin, right, that's only certain things, but not, right, this is itchazik isura, and therefore it's Sefer Sheba Erva, and it's also Sefer Sheba Erva. Okay, so then what's the answer? The answer is Rov B'Kiyinheim. Remember, most people do know this halacha. Okay, we're going back to the end of Bet Amud Bet. Now I'm repeating this because we're going to see this exact sugya. This was all a question on Rava's opinion, right? Let me just remember. Rava's opinion. Now we're going to see the whole thing again on Rava's opinion, the exact same mahalach. So in the end, the answer, Rav Bekiyin, and even according to Rabbi Meir, who's choshesh from Yuta, okay, we're not going to get into that, we did that yesterday already, most sofim writes, Damsifer didayne migmar kemire v'rabanen hu de'itzrich. Okay? And then it's all, really, we're not so worried about this Bekiyin. Okay, but what's the issue? Rabbanim said we should make the, right, just in case someone takes it out of the garbage can, finds a get that was written for someone else and it happens to have his name on it, her name on it, perfect, he'll just give it to her. Because of that, they made a takana, but hacha mishumikuna akilu be'rabbanan. But then they made it more meikel that he only needs to send it with one shaliach, because not so realistic, he's going to always find shnei shlichim. Now the Gemara says, wait a minute. Hai kulahu chumrahu. You're saying this is a kula, but really it's a kula that ends up being a chumra. Now, we see lots of times, if you're making one thing, we can be machmir, and you know, it causes a problem. That's really what it means. It causes a problem. Why? If they had just made it that you need two witnesses, right, that the husband has to send it with two shlichim, lo ate baal ma'ar upasile. Chad ate baal ma'ar upasile. What does this mean? If you had made him give it with two shlichim, then he would never have even had an option to come and try to be ma'ar. Now that you allowed it only with one in the beginning, now the husband can come up against that one witness and say, hey, you're one witness and I'm one guy. I can go contradict and say, you know, I can basically, as the words are, motzi la'az, I can give a bad rap to this get. You know, this is very confusing. What do you mean? Didn't we say that the whole point of having this one shaliach say the text, b'fanei nechtam, was to make sure the husband wasn't ma'arer? If the husband's ma'arer, we have this guy who said it? The Gemara seems to be saying now, it's very confusing, the Gemara seems to be saying, if someone's ma'arer against that one, if the Baal's ma'arer against that one witness, then there's significance to what he says, and he can knock down the witness. So now it's very confusing what's going on here exactly in the Gemara. Okay, there's a big question. Some people say that it's not that he can really, motzi laz on this get, in other words, in the sense that there's any relevance halachically to what he's going to do. But there's, if he complains, if one witness came and said, fanei nechtam, husband comes later and starts to say, this is a forged document, we don't accept what the husband says. The witness already, he was fine. We accept him. But he did, it's like when you say, when you're in court and they say, objection, and then they say, right, if it was good objection, erase it from the records, what he said, okay? You can't erase anything from the records, really, because the fact is, he said it was a forged document. When this woman goes to get married, there's going to be men who are going to be hesitant to marry her now. Even though halachically, we accept b'fanei nechtam, but in people's minds, the husband came and complained, and there's only one witness against him. In other words, if we made two witnesses come and bring the get, then there'd be no one would even be concerned, because there's two witnesses, and we know, two witnesses means everything. But if there's only one, then people might already become suspect about this get, and they might not marry her.
There are two witnesses, essentially, on the get. It's just one shaliach.
No, but there's two witnesses, but we don't know that those witnesses are valid witnesses. That's the issue.
Right.
In a case where we can't find those witnesses to be Mekayim the Shtar, that's the issue. Okay? So that's what they're saying. That's one way of reading this. Okay? There's other ways of reading it. Some people say we're going to reject whatever. But that's one good way of reading it, as far as I can see. Okay. So now, V'kevan da'amar mar. So now what's the answer to this? And that's how come, we didn't make them do two witnesses. How many people, when he, okay, so now we said, there's Ede Mesira and there's Ede Chatima, right? So now when this witness comes and says, fanei nechtam, in front of how many people does he give it to her? There's a machloket. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. Chad amar b'fnei shnayim, v'chad amar b'fnei shlosha. We're going to see this types of machlokot like this throughout the Masechet about things that have to be done before two people or before three. Generally, three people are considered a beit din. Two people, it's witnesses. In other words, does it need to be done before witnesses, or does it need to be done before a court? So now, but even according to whichever guy, right, at least what do we see? He has to come before two people and testify, b'fanei nechtam, whether they're witnesses or a beit din, it doesn't matter. And therefore, me'ikara medak diek v'lo ati lo ruei nafshe. What does this mean? The shaliach, since he knows, it's not just he's going to the woman's house and giving her the get. He's giving the get to her before witnesses. Since he knows he's going to have to give it before witnesses, he's going to make sure, before he brings this get, that everything was done kamosha tzarich. Okay? That's the assumption here. And therefore, he's going to make sure he knows what he's doing. And therefore, what's the issue? Again, this is all to prevent the husband from coming to complain. Since there was a ma'amad of the witness giving it over in front of two witnesses, and the assumption is he's checked it out and he knows what he's doing, there's going to be no significance if the Baal comes to complain. And therefore, the Baal is probably not going to even come to complain. In other words, they're setting up a system that's, again, like what we said yesterday, it's preventative. It's to prevent the husband from coming later to complain. So once there's a whole ma'amad and this witness comes and says, fanei nechtam, and he does it before two or three witnesses, the husband's not going to come to complain anymore. This was clearly done kamosha tzarich.
This seems to also just be simply practical, because to send two shlichim from far away is also very difficult or more expensive.
Right. So first of all, it could be what Shari's saying is it's practical. In other words, if we made it two, it would be more complicated for people to send two shlichim abroad to try to bring the get and all that. There's actually, since you bring it up, I'm going to make this, Tosfot makes this very interesting comparison to our sugya. Tosfot says, if you remember, we learned it in Yivavot and Ketubot about the woman whose husband goes to Medina Hayam and he doesn't come back, and we can allow one witness, right, Edecha Ne'eman in that case, to say the husband died. And then, what happens though, if she gets married based on that witness's testimony, and then it turns out the husband's alive, remember we saw that case? So she's forbidden to him and she's forbidden to the new husband. She gets into a really bad situation. So they say that they could have asked the same question here. Why did you make a kula that's going to atel yidei chumra? And they don't ask that question there. The question is, Tosfot says, why didn't they ask the question there? And they ask it here. So Tosfot makes a very good distinction. He said, here, a little different from what Shari's saying, and that's why I wanted to point it out. He picks up on the same point, but he says, there it's an issue that we don't have two witnesses. We're in a situation, the husband disappeared, we don't know where he is, we don't know if he died or not. One witness happens to show up and said he's dead, so we're going to accept that because it's a problem in the Mitzvah. We don't have more than one witness. Whereas here, you could, in theory, create a halacha. Here the problem is it's a halacha thing. Should the halacha demand two witnesses, right, in a case where you can actually send two shlichim, it's true, it might be a tircha, but you can technically do it. And it could be you're right that that's why they didn't make them do it, because it's complicated. But on the other hand, it's not as complicated as a case where we're going to accept one witness when we don't have more than one witness. So anyway, it's an interesting comparison. Okay. So now we're going to ask the exact same question on Rava. Okay. Ula Rava damar lepisha ein edim mitzuyim lakaimo. That we don't have edim that can validate the get. Libai trei. We should, again, why don't we have two witnesses? Okay, we're going to see the exact same sugya except for very minor differences. Miditahavi akiyam shtarop de'alma. Just like if you want to be makayim a shtar. So let's say we have a shtar. Someone comes and says, I think it's a forgery. So what do? You have to look around and get witnesses that can validate. You need really two witnesses that can validate one guy's signature and two witnesses that can validate the other guy's signature. You have to do kiyam shtarop with two witnesses. And then what the Beit Din does is they're motzi something called an ashrata, which means they're ma'asher, right? They validate that this is a good shtar, and then it can be acceptable. Another way they could do it, by the way, is they don't need two witnesses, they need the people themselves that sign, come and say, oh yeah, that's my signature. Okay? So, again, you should need two witnesses. Mi did have a kiyum shtar o ta'ama, like any kiyum shtar. So again, the Gemara answers, no, eidecha ne'eman b'isurim. When it comes to a shtar, generally, we're talking about dine mamonot. Here, we're not talking about dine mamonot, we're talking about iser v'heter, and eidecha ne'eman b'isurin. So again, the Gemara says, imor damrinan eidecha ne'eman b'isurin kigon chatichat sefek shel chelev sefek shel shuman, delo et chazik isur, right? Well, that's the case of something that wasn't asur b'chlal. It's just a matter, is it asur, is it not? Aval hacha it chazik isur de eshadish. But here, she's an eshadish already, and therefore, you need more than one. And additionally, havi debar sheba erva v'ein debar sheba erva pachot mishnayim. So then they answer, then they say, why is one enough? So they say, bidinhu, the same kind of logic as before. Debekium shtarot nami lolibai. Really, Kiyum Shtarot itself doesn't need two witnesses. Kidi Rish Lakish, like Rish Lakish says, Da'ama Rish Lakish, Edim Chatumim al Ashtar, Nasu Kemisha Nechkera Edutam Bibetin. Signatures on a document are as if, right, the assumption is, basically, let's put it this way. If you bring a document, like I said before, the assumption is, the working assumption is these are valid signatures. Unless someone comes to try to complain, right, we accept this as if it's good. So there's an assumption that it's as if these edim were checked in a beitin. V'rabanan hu de'itzruch, but Rabbanan, you know, we're a little bit concerned that maybe there's a forgery, maybe something else. So they made it, it's a takana midrabbanan, which means that, again, you don't need two witnesses midoraita. It's only a midrabbanan. V'hachan, again in our case, mishumi guna akilu be'rabbanan. Okay, and because it's in a guna case, we don't want this woman to be stuck with that again. We're going to be mekum. So again, the Gemara says, "Hai kulahu chumrahu." It's a chumrah. What do you mean? Di mitzracha leitre loate ba'al ma'aru pasile. Right? If you had made us do, you bring two shlichim, then the husband would never have been able to come and complain. B'chad ate ba'al ma'aru pasile. But one witness, the husband could come and start complaining about it. So kevan de amar b'fnei kama not nola. Again, the same answer. Since they said in front of how many people. Do you give it to her? Again, machlok Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Chanina, chanamar b'fnei shnayim, v'chanamar b'fnei shlosha. Therefore, meikar medik dieg v'lo ati la'ruei na'afshe. Right? We know that from the beginning, the witness is going to make sure that it's really good, and therefore, the husband's very unlikely he's going to come and complain. Okay, that's the end of that. Okay, questions on each of them. Now we're going to start asking questions as to, okay, you can follow in the chart also. Why didn't each one agree with the other? And this, I raised some of these questions when we learned it, but now we'll see them inside. Berava, okay, my time alo amar ki rab. Okay, Rava who says lefisha ein edim mitzuyim l'kaimo, why didn't he say the issue is that they're not b'kiyin l'shma? Amar lecha, mi katane b'fanei nechtam l'shma, b'fanei nechtam l'shma. It doesn't say, the witness, the shaliach doesn't have to say, b'fanai nechtav lishma, right? And if the issue was lishma, we talked about this yesterday, he should have had to say, it was written lishma. Should have had the word lishma in it, right? If that's what he's really testifying about. So now, what's Rabba? Okay, we're going to basically have a ping pong back and forth. So Rabba, what do you say about that? Why doesn't it say lishma? So what does he answer? Bidin hu delit nehachi. Really, it should have been that he should have said b'fanei nechtav l'shma, b'fanei nechtam l'shma. Ela, di mifshat le'dibura, atu l'migzie. What's our concern? That if we make him say a text that's too long, he's going to maybe cut off some of the words, he won't remember the whole thing, and then he won't say it the way chachamim or metakin, he's supposed to say it. And we wanted to make it short and sweet, right, so that we don't mess it up. It's definitely not a great convincing answer. We're going to see the Gemara doesn't like it. Or whatever. We're going to, again, remember, this is a ping pong. So what does the other guy say? Why aren't we worried till matu l'migzieh? So he says, hashtanami atu l'migzieh. B'fanei nechtam, fanei nechtam is already a bit of a mouthful, right? The way it is right now. Anything you say, people might accidentally cut off. So what is the answer? Again, this is what Rabba would answer back. Rabba would answer back. Chada mitzlat guys, chada mitarte lo guys. If it's two words, like b'fanei nechtav, you're not going to confuse it. But if it's three words, like b'fanei nechtav lishma, then you might actually accidentally cut off a word. Okay, again, right. Whether you're convinced by this or not, again, this goes back to what I said in the beginning, which is, and I say this all the time, if there was an easy answer, we wouldn't have a machloket about it, right? The whole issue here is that there's this institution that they, you know, there's this thing they instituted that you have to fanei nechtav, fanei nechtav. Nobody really knows why you have to do it. And there's all sorts of conjectures, but there's weaknesses in each of the arguments. And that's exactly what the sug is highlighting. Berabba, my time alo amar kerava. Why doesn't he hold and say the issue is ein edim mitzuyim l'kaimo? Amar lecha im kein nitne b'fanei nechtam b'tu lo. B'fanei nechtav lamali. Shma mina b'inan lishma. Right, what's the issue? If the issue is that we need the edim, then what's the issue? The chatima, not the ktiva. Right? It doesn't matter who wrote it yet. The issue is, was it signed by the edim, and we're mekayim the signatures of the chatima? So it should have just said b'fanai nechtav, and not even b'fanai nechtav. There would be no reason. So therefore, we must learn that the issue has to do with the ketiva also, which means it's the lishma issue. B'rava, what's he going to retort to this? B'din hu delitnehachi. Really? You could have just said b'fanai nechtam. But why did we say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam? Ela de'im ken ati lechlufei b'kiyum shtara ta'ama be'ed echad. What's unique in this case, different from kiyum shtara? Kiyum shtarot, we said, has to be done by two people. In this case, we're allowing kiyum shtarot to be done by one person. And if we just had this one person come and say, b'fanai nechtam, then it seems like a classic kiyum shtarot case, and we would come to conclude that in other kiyum shtarot that aren't get-related, what's the whole thing we said? Why are we mekel and get? Because of iguna. That's why we're allowing one witness. Really, kiyum shtarot has to be done with two. But people don't necessarily know that we're mekel because it's an iguna issue. So what are they going to think? They're going to see this guy comes and says, b'fanai nechtam. They're going to say, oh, here you have kiyum shtarot with one witness. We therefore can conclude that all kiyum shtarot we could do with one witness. So therefore, what does he say? He says, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, giving significance to the ketiva also, which makes it sound like it's something unique for get. Okay, so that the wording here makes it like it's a unique thing for get, and therefore we won't come to confuse it with kiyum shtarot in general. So now, what's the other guy going to say back? But Rabba, what's he going to say? Why doesn't he think that that's the case? Mi dame, why are these two things similar? Kiyum shtarot and get have a lot of differences, okay? They're not similar in general. And therefore, you wouldn't come to confuse them. Why? He's going to give three differences, okay? Hatam yad'inan. Haha bifanai. Here you need a special text that says bifanai nechtam. Let's say you just said bifanai nechtam, right? So if you just said bifanai nechtam, we wouldn't come to confuse it with kiyum shtarot. Why? Because kiyum shtarot, you don't say those words. Kiyum shtarot, it's enough to just say yadinan, I know these guys. Whereas in gitin, you need this special, you know, text that you say. So it's already number one difference. Number two, hatam isha lo mehemna. When it comes to kiyum shtarot, we don't accept women's testimony, just like we don't in general accept women's testimony. But haha isha mehemna. But in a case like this, if a husband sent the get with a woman, the woman would be believed to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. Okay, so women's testimony is accepted. So again, it shows there's differences.
I'm sorry, but that's really ironic because you would think dafka here she wouldn't be. What if she doesn't want the divorce?
It's a different woman.
Although the woman herself, I think, is also believed, by the way. I think. Right. Rashi says it's Hevia get lechaverta, but I'm pretty sure that I saw that also the woman herself. I think we're going to get to this, but I think it's possible. Right. There's no shaliach, although, right. It's strange why it would be her. I don't remember, but. By the way, speaking of things I didn't remember. I checked up yesterday. I brought up the issue. I couldn't remember when you need the ratzon of the woman. It's takanat rabbeinu gershom. According to the Gemara law, it's clear that even in the time of the Gemara, and that's clearly the Torah, and even in the time of the Gemara, a woman can get divorced against her will. But it's all the takanat rabbeinu gershom, and that's why the heter mei rabbanim works, because what's the heter doing? It's being matir the takanat rabbeinu gershom, basically. Okay? So that's only from much later, okay? If we're talking historically, right, the Gemara is from the years 200 to 500, and Rabbeinu Gershom's in the year, in the 11th century. So we're talking much, much later in time. Not to mention, I don't know, halacha lemaase in Sephardi communities, because Takanat Rabbeinu Gershom was really only for Ashkenazi communities. I don't know if that point in history of Sephardim had any issues about that at all, if they took into consideration.
The Beit Din makes, she has to agree.
What?
Like the Beit Din here.
No, nowadays, right. Nowadays, for sure. Well, also nowadays, we have Takanat Rabbeinu Gershom of marrying more than one wife. Nobody does that anymore.
No, I'm talking about the woman. Right.
Right, but I'm saying, so at a certain point in history, but during the time of the Rishonim, it certainly wasn't, it was just Ashkenazi community, so I wonder if there was a similar, I don't know.
She wouldn't have to agree, because you could just marry somebody, you could marry more and more people with
Rabbeinu. Exactly, if you don't hold Takanat Rabbeinu Gershom, then he could just marry other women he doesn't even need to get.
Right.
Right.
But he has to keep supporting her.
Right. At some point it became. I don't know when that is. That's what I'm saying. I don't know when.
I'm not sure it's not just in Israel because of the Beit Din will find it.
I assume. Yeah, it's a good question. I have to look into that. Okay, so that's the answer for that. Okay.
Israel for sure. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was earlier. By the way, there were all these issues about Takana Rabbeinu Gershom in general in the middle of the time of the Rishonim. The Takana was written for a certain period of time. There's this fascinating historical thing about it, and that at a certain point, it could be like it ran out, and there was a whole thing of are we renewing it, or are we not? There was a whole thing about it. Anyway, it's interesting, but not for now. Okay, so where were we? Okay, so number one, Isha, Mehemna, right in here, and there Isha is Lo Mehemna. Hatam, third difference, Baal Davar Lo Meheman, Hacha Baal Davar Meheman. Okay? This means, this is where it comes up. Right. She herself, Rashi says it, Haisha Atzma Mibiyat Gitami Medina Hayam B'Torat Shlichut. Okay? De'amar La Baal, like for example, okay, it's a very strange case, but the husband says to her, don't get divorced. Until, in other words, this won't be your divorce document until you get to the courts in Israel. Okay? And she's supposed to bring her own get to Israel. Why he would do that, I can't imagine. But she then could say, b'fanei nechtam, and she'd be believed. Okay? So again, what other, right, generally, you can't be Mekayim your own shtar, right? It doesn't make any sense. So again, those are three differences. And therefore, what are they trying to say? It's obvious to people that we're meka when it comes to the get of the woman, because we have all these differences, although the first one's really not a kula, because the first one's saying there's a specific text for it as opposed to yed inan. But the other two are kulas there is by get that there isn't by kim shtarit, and therefore there's no real concern that we're going to confuse them. Okay, so what's Rava going to answer to this? Rava amar lecha, atu hacha ki amra yed inan milo mehemne? You're saying there's a difference because one says Yad Inan and one says B'fanei Nechtam. But what if, even though, yes, it's true, you're supposed to say B'fanei Nechtam. But if this witness came and he brought the get and he said the words Yad Inan, I know that this is a good get, right? I know that this was signed properly. Okay? You're not going to believe him? Of course you will. So V'kevan d'chi amra Yad Inan mehemne, since you could in theory say Yad Inan and you'd be believed, Ati l'chlufi b'kim shtarot ha'alma b'ed echad. Therefore, he thinks that you really would. In other words, this text isn't like you have to say these words, fanasa, or maybe lechatchili you do, but b'di'evit, if you didn't, it would still be good. And therefore, since people in theory could do it that way, therefore you could see a case where people would confuse it, and therefore he doesn't think that that's the issue.
If he holds that you don't need to use the exact text, then that knocks out everything we said beforehand about saying
right. Yes. So right. Exactly. I agree. The conclusion of this sugya seems to contradict the conclusion of the earlier sugya. In other words, what was said before, which was that you have to say these exact words. If you drop the words, then it won't work. And right. Exactly. So it depends. You know, they go which way they go depending on what they need to say. Ulerabba da amar lefisha ein b'kiyin lishma. Now we have another question. Rabba says the issue is b'kiyin lishma. So man haitana debay ktiva lishma ubay chatima lishma. Now we're getting into the issue of, if the issue is lishma, what should it have said? B'fanai nechtav lishma. We talked about the chatima, the ktiva has to be lishma. Who says you also need chatima lishma? So the assumption is right now that since Rabba says this is the issue, that it's b'kiyin lishma, and he says, right, and clearly you have to say b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam, it must be that you need both the ktiva to be lishma and the chatima to be lishma. So who is the one who says this? That what Tana says this type of thing? So, I Rabbi Meir, chatima ba'i, ktiva lo ba'i. If you're going to say it's Rabbi Meir, he actually thinks that you only need the chatima is what's important, and not the writing of it. Okay, the chatima has to be lishma, not that it's written lishma. How do we know this? Ditnan. Now, the first thing you have to remember is stam mishnah Rabbi Meir. If we have a mishnah without a name, we're going to assume it's Rabbi Meir, and that's why they're saying that this must be Rabbi Meir's opinion, and therefore Rabbi Meir. Again, what we're going to say here is Rabbi Meir's opinion doesn't match this opinion because Rabbi Meir needs. Right, we're trying to find someone who holds you need both ktiva lishma and chatima lishma. So he only needs chatima lishma. Ditnan. Ein kotvim b'mechubar lakarka. Remember, we learned this yesterday, that you can't write a get on something that's attached to the ground because you have to have nothing between the signing or the writing of it, and this is going to be the question. Nothing between the important action, okay, whether it's written or signing, and the giving of the get. So what does he say? Ein kotvim b'mechubar lakarka. But what if you did anyway? Katvu al mechubar lakarka. You wrote it while it was attached. Talshu, you ripped it off. chatmu, and then you signed it. Vinotznala kasher. Okay, so what do you see here? The chatima is what's important. Now, it doesn't exactly say chatima lishma here. It's a bit of a issue. But the point is, he thinks, okay, and this is where we're going to get to. I told you, we get to the more tomorrow, but even today, that there's an issue of, according to Rabbi Meir, the key element of the edut is the chatimot. Okay? And he's going to argue with Rabbi Elazar, who we're going to see right now. E Rabbi Elazar, k'tiva ba'e chatima lo ba'e. Okay, according to Rabbi Elazar, he only thinks the k'tiva is important. He doesn't think the chatima is important at all. So therefore, he would say, you need k'tiva l'shma, but not chatima l'shma. So again, you would only say, right, according to Rabbi Meir, you'd say, b'fanai nechtam. According to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar, you'd say, b'fanai nechtav. Right, you wouldn't need both according to either one of them. B'chi tema lo'olam Rabbi Elazar hi. Maybe it really is Rabbi Elazar. B'chi lo bai Rabbi Elazar chatima l'shma mida'oraita mida'rabanam bai. Maybe Rabbi Elazar doesn't think that the chatima is critical on a de'oraita level. But maybe on a de'rabanan level, he would think that you need chatima l'shma. Okay, we're going to see in the words of Rabbi Elazar after, this is going to be a very, we're going to see this a bunch, okay, I'll already tell you. There's a concept, is it Ede Mesira Karte? Is that what's korret between him, okay? Is it the Ede Mesira? Or according to Rabbi Meir, it's Ede Chatima Karte. Okay, it's the ones who sign on the get that make the that make the critical move. Okay, so now they're going to say, if you want to say that Rabbi Elazar needs chatima lishma mida rabbanan, that also doesn't make sense. Okay, why? Okay, now we're going to have to learn a few things to get to this. Okay, b'ha, there's a mishnah later on in the mesechet, much later on, that reads like this: shlosha gitim psulin de rabbanan. Okay. Lo bai Rabbi Elazar chatima lishma. Okay, what does this mean? They're giving, this is just like the title. We're going to get into it now. There's a case where there's these three gitin that are psulimi de rabbanan, and Rabbi Elazar comes and argues with that and says, wait, but you're missing other things, or you know, he disagrees with it. But he doesn't say there that you need chatima lishma mi de rabbanan. In other words, it seems clear from Rabbi Elazar that even on a de rabbanan level, you can get away without the chatimot. Ditznan, here's how it goes. Shlosha gitim psulin v'im niset havlag kasher. There's three cases of a get pasul that if she has this type of get, and based on this get she got married, okay, remarried to somebody else, had a baby. Now, if the get's no good, what do we say? She was an eshadish, the baby's a mom's there. But in these cases, the get's only pasul mi derabanan. And we're going to say that if de facto she's already married and has children, the vlad is kasher, okay? There's no mamzerut. What are the three cases? If the get is katab b'chtav yado, it's written in the husband's handwriting, right? That's already somewhat of a proof that the husband actually intended to give her the get, because why else would it be in his handwriting? Why would he write a get to her? So katab b'chtav yado ve'ein alav edim, and there's no edim here. Yesh alav edim, let's say that's case number two. It has edim be'ein bo zman, but there's no date. The date's obviously critical because the question is, was she married before the get or after the get was given? Yesh bo zman, let's say it does have zman, but ein bo ela eid echa, but there's only one witness on the document, which obviously is also a problem. You need two witnesses on the document. Hare elu shlosha gitim psulim v'im niseit havlag kasher. Rabbi Elazar now comes and says, Omer, af al pi she'ein alav edim, Ela shenatnu la bifnei edim kasher v'gove minechasim mishuavadim she'ein edim chotmim al haget ela mipnei tikkun olam. Okay, what does this mean? So what does he say? Even if there's no edim, but they gave it to her in front of witnesses. So here you have a get. It's not signed. But he gives it to her in front of edim. Okay, this is exactly Rabbi Elazar's opinion, that it's edim asira that are most important. Okay? Begovet minechasim mishuabadim. There's a whole question. What money is she collecting here? Right? So most people say she's collecting the money of her ketubah based on the get. We saw in ketubah that a woman would generally, if she wanted to prove that she was divorced, she would bring her get. She would show her get to basically get her ketubah money from her husband. And what's nechasim mishuabadim? That's, remember, he sets aside money for her, and if he sells his property, he has no longer property to give her, she can go take it from the people he sold it to. Because if, right, let's say it has to be again, she gets her ketubah, let's say they get married, and he sold the property after they were already married. Okay, if it's property he sold before the marriage, that's not meshuabad. But any property of his after the date of the wedding, or the date when the ketubah takes effect, right? Why do I say that? Because we learned already the ketubah takes effect from when they get married, but sometimes he actually would sign the ketubah before the wedding. And if he does, then already from the date he signs the ketubah, this takes effect. And then any property he sold after that, she can come and claim and take it out from of the person that he sold it to. Remember, the person who he sold it to gets screwed, but on the other hand, what's the issue? He's supposed to check before he buys some property that it's not, that there's no lien on the property, okay? He has to check. Do you have obligations? How does that work? Okay, so now, what do we say? So why does this work? This is what he's saying is, here's another case where it would work, okay? In addition to the Mishnah. Because ein aidim chotmim al get elam ipnei tikkun olam. So what do you see? That even midrabanan, you don't really, the chatima is not so important. Why is the chatima important? Now we get into this tikkun olam, okay? This, by the way, is going to be the whole perek. The fourth perek is a whole slew of Mishnayot. We've seen this before where we start about one thing and then we go off on tangent. And even the fifth parak goes about Darkei Shalom. Okay, this is what makes Gittin very interesting, is besides all these. Gittin's very interesting because it deals with, if we're already going to talk about this, it deals with, number one, Dinei Yishut, you know, and all these things that we've touched upon in Ketubot, Yevamo, but a lot of these things with Gittin. In addition, there's monetary stuff going on here, and there's like a lot of like kiyum shtarot is compared to, there's a lot of other stuff in it, like dine, other dinim, and in addition it has all these tangents where it goes off about takanot that they made in order to make things work better. Okay, tikkun olam. So what's the tikkun olam here? The assumption is you don't really need the chatimot, but again, in the case that maybe the witnesses who, if you have only Edim Asira, what's the problem? If you want to prove that she's divorced, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to find those witnesses. What if they die? What if they go traveling? What if, you know, you don't want to be reliant on these two people. So Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam, they instituted that you have witnesses. Okay? But therefore, it's clear that even Midrabanan, you don't need this Chatima Lishma. It's only a technical takana. Okay, so what we've done is we've rejected, we're trying to find someone who holds Chatima Lishma and Ktiva Lishma, right? We've shown that according to Rabbi Meir, you'll need Chatima Lishma. According to Rabbi Elazar, you need Mesira Lishma. Okay, you need, which, you know, the assumption would be if he's going to choose one or the other, it must be the Ktiva that's important and not the Chatima, because clearly he's Mezalzel on the Chatimot. He says they're not really important. It's only Mishum Tikkun Olam that you need it. So what do they answer now? Be'ela Rabbi Meir he. It must be Rabbi Meir. The chi lo bai Rabbi Meir ktiva lishma mida oraita but mida rabbanan bai. Okay, so why don't we say that it's Rabbi Meir? And when Rabbi Meir, right, this is what we just tried to say about Rabbi Elazar. When Rabbi Meir said you don't need ktiva lishma, he only meant on a da oraita level, but on a da rabbanan level you would need. But now we're going to say, wait a minute, that can't be true, because v'ha amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said about Rabbi Meir, omer haya Rabbi Meir. Afilu mitzao ba'ashpa. That's why I gave this example of someone finding in the garbage, because it comes from the Gemara, or the Mishnah here. Afilu mitzao ba'ashpa, even if you find it in the garbage, meaning you found a shard that was written for so-and-so, right? And you happen to have the same name, and your wife has the same name. V'chatmu v'natnu la kasher. Okay? So therefore, what do you see? That even Rabbi Meir doesn't even need ktiva lishma, even midrabanan, because if you found this in the garbage, according to Rav Nachman, he said that Rabbi Meir would say if you found it in the garbage, as long as you signed it, it's good. So now we're stuck because we don't have anyone who holds ktiva and chatima lishma. Okay, so we'll stop here for today. We'll pick up with this tomorrow.
It's probably not so crazy because you can see the white.